B-Pod Studios.
All right, 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia on a rainy Wednesday when a lot of people are probably out of work. You're listening at home. Maybe you're in your car. If you're in your car, be careful out there. And if you're calling from the car, use the Bluetooth. Be careful about that. We'll have Corey Simon joining the show at 3:30 to get the latest on the Bryce Harper drama and what's going to happen. And my instincts are that it's not going to happen here. I finally come to that conclusion. I'm hopeful because I think that they need him. And you might not think he's worth the money. This is going great, folks. It's two superstars. They've been overhyped. They were the two biggest superstars on the market that get you more money in general. One already signed at that price, the $300 million. This guy's going to sign for more. You just got to forget about the cost of it, whether he's worth it. And look at it like your team's better off with him. It's as simple, really, as that. All right, let's start the 3 o'clock hour, a little gossip. Natalie, you were telling me about Tristan Thompson. What's going on there with the Kardashians and Tristan?
All right, so I honestly, I don't really pay as much attention to celebrity gossip as I used to. Mm-hmm. However, I was on Twitter last night, and I saw that this story was breaking that Tristan Thompson cheated on Khloe Kardashian with Kylie Jenner's best friend, lifelong best friend, named Jordan Woods.
Ah.
So.
That's always problematic.
Yes, I'd say a bit.
Cheating with the best friend.
Yeah, so apparently this Hollywood gossip site had a writer who was at the party, and Tristan had taken all of their phones at the party so no one could take pictures or anything.
Yeah.
But the writer still told somebody, and somebody told somebody. A report said that Tristan confirmed it and that the Jordan Woods girl stayed at Tristan's house until 7 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
Scandal.
Well, he's a serial cheater, but here's my question to you, because you followed this. He was cheating on her when she was pregnant.
Yes.
She delivered the baby. They banned him from the hospital. They got back together.
Yes.
Hunky-dory.
I mean, I don't know if it was hunky-dory.
Not hunky-dory.
I think she was trying to save the relationship for the sake of the child, which is, I guess, admirable.
This is the point of no return when the best friend's involved, right?
When your baby sister, when your littlest sister's best friend's involved, I think that that's where you draw the line.
Yeah, the best friend.
Scandal. But
it was a hunky-dory. There was a lot of rumors that she had hired surveillance to follow him because she didn't want to spend time in Cleveland. So he was under surveillance 24/7. That I wouldn't call, personally, that's not hunky-dory to me.
No one wants to live like that.
So what it came down to, and this is a lesson for all of us, if a person cheats and you choose to forgive, if you choose to forgive, you forgive. If you can't forgive, just break up. That's the lesson. Young people, older people, that's the lesson.
You got it down. That's a pretty good lesson.
Yeah, if you can forgive, I'm not judging. But if you can't forgive, don't keep it together. Because what I think happened here was, Natalie can elaborate, he was going to cheat again because the trust was already destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just a matter of convenience because he couldn't just go out and cheat anymore because he's under 24/7 surveillance.
Right. I have a theory, and I was saying to Ty earlier that I feel like, you know, anybody who's an accessory to that inner circle of the Kardashians, they can kind of rely on each other. So they could probably talk about what it's like to be a part of that life. And, you know, one thing leads to another. And next thing you know, you're cheating on your baby mama with her little sister's best friend.
Well, Tyra makes a good point, though, because in a way, she caused it.
In a way.
The surveillance.
Yeah, in a way.
She did not cause it.
So he couldn't do anything outside. So he felt stifled. And that led him down this ugly in-house path.
Okay, in-house is one thing, but your little sister's best friend, lifelong best friend.
He's wrong.
Who's probably 20.
Whoever's available.
Well, I don't know if she's only 20. I haven't got to Google that, but she's of age, so it's legal. But what I mean is he's wrong. He was wrong the first two times when he got caught. What I'm saying is, and this is real, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you do not trust them, there's a 100% chance that person's going to stray again. It just is.
Yeah.
We all know that paranoid person. They end up pushing the person to somebody else.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Let me ask you this, Natalie. You open your cupboard and there's only one can of beans in there. Do you eat the beans or do you just leave it there because it's a can of beans?
There were other beans there, though. There was other beans at the party.
I'm just saying.
I know. I get what you're saying. I know.
He knew.
I understand it.
He's hungry for a can of beans.
Yeah, but how could he think that he wasn't going to get caught?
I think he did.
There was plenty of other beans there.
I think
the
Kardashian thing is so preposterous. Like I loathe myself that I'm talking about it.
Well, it was number
and I'm talking about it with my tongue in my cheek.
Well, I got
it was trending number one. Ridiculous. Multiple different.
Yeah, I know it's trending.
Was number
it tells
one
you a little bit about our society.
In all of the city, not in and
it's
nationwide.
Astounding to me.
Well, and I get an email today because I get all these random emails from like sports books and stuff. And it's this title or the subject of the email. Odds on the next Kardashian-Jenner breakup. We have Kim and Kanye at 30-1. Kendall Jenner and Ben Simmons 1-3. Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott 1.5-1. Caitlyn Jenner and Sophia Hutchins 25-1, and Kris Jenner and 40 and Corey Gamble 20-1. That literally, this was in my inbox.
See,
and this
all this this care and thoughts of the Kardashians. What about me? It's about me. What about me, Nat?
I mean, do you have...
What do you want, Mike? What do you want,
Mike? It's not nearly enough about me. It's all about the Kardashians.
Do you have a scandal other than your tree that you'd like to share with the class?
It's all how stupid this whole thing is. This is what I'm trying to point out.
Look, I know. It's very scandalous.
Yeah.
Got my attention.
Scandal. I couldn't care about Tristan Thompson. I couldn't care about, I don't know. Whatever.
Well, and the funniest part is the way that the articles are now phrasing it, they're like, worst center in the NBA cheats on baby mom. They're just dragging
Tristan. Oh,
if it was Donald Trump or somebody, Tristan Thompson, I have to worry about?
Yeah.
Well, let's go to George and Ben Salem. George, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. George.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
What's up, George?
Much. I'm hopefully this eases you a little bit, but I was reading up that I've been reading all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what I heard is Middleton's probably going to get involved. He wants him that bad. He's going to grab the steering wheel, they said, and take over. And then they're saying Boris is talking $400 million. There's no way San Francisco or Chicago, they'll be out. So the Phillies will be bidding against themselves, basically, they're saying. And I hope that's true, because I've been reading all the things, and I felt like you did until I read that, and it looks like, hey, maybe it's just...
Well, how can he ask for $400 million?
That's what the board... You got to look into it. That's what board...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like nobody in their right mind would pay him $400 million, because...
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to. Where's he going to go? He has no place else to go. You don't have to pay him $400 million. All you got to do is beat Machado's deal.
Exactly. I'm not saying pay him $400 million. That's what they said that Boris is talking about. It isn't going to happen, but the Phillies are the highest bidder, and that's what I'm reading, and that there's nobody else.
Then it makes me wonder why he hasn't signed now. He's obviously looking for another team to sign. He obviously doesn't want to be here. That's the worry I get.
I think it's just that he's playing them for as much money he can get, and like you said, it's a hitter-friendly park. And if you go by what that guy said before you about 111 games, he still had 29 home runs, 87 RBIs, and 95 runs scored. The guy, and that's in 111 games. You prorate that, he's right what you said, 45 home runs, and that's an 111 game season. You know, what can he do in 160? You know,
you're absolutely right. And his on base percentage, his on base percentage is nearly 400. The year he was MVP, his on base percentage was 460. Are you kidding me?
They got to get him. They got to go out and get him.
460 with 42 home runs.
Right.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Absolutely.
All right. We are in colleges by state.
Okay.
All right. What state is Clemson in?
Clemson's in South Carolina.
That is correct. Clemson, South Carolina is correct. Nicely done. So if I'm the Phillies, I go, listen, I'll beat it by $50 million. Like, how could they turn that down? You offered $350 million. It seems to me they didn't offer $350 million because he would have signed. There's no other team that could be in the bidding.
Yeah,
you get him at $325. There's no other team's going to match that.
Well, they might want to beat the Stanton contract, so you might have to go.
All right, go to $350.
You go to $330 though. You beat him now. Booney found a great stat. OPS, because everybody, these old school guys are only using batting average and RBIs. Right. We do know better stats now.
Mm-hmm.
OPS, the highest among active players of Citizens Bank Park. This is courtesy of Booney.
Mm-hmm.
Hoskins has the highest 933. The second in all of baseball, Bryce Harper, 930.
Well, there you go. He hits here.
And he would hit here. And think about what that would do for his numbers, and think about what it would do for the Phillies. He would hit here, and they would hit back-to-back a lot of nights. 3-4 right there.
All right. You don't have to sell me on the player. I wanted him from the jump.
That was more, it wasn't for you, Mike. Yeah, it was for the people out there that like, I'm not sure he would play here. I don't know.
He's not worth the money. You can't say he's not worth the money anymore, because that's what the money is. All right? So you got to take that out of the equation. He's not worth the money. It's the going rate. You might not like it, but it's the going rate. And it's out of your control. The only thing that's in your control is whether you decide you want to pay a higher price ticket or not. Otherwise, you can watch it right here on NBC Sports Philadelphia. How about that plug? That's nicely done.
Yeah.
Dan, Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Dan?
So with the whole thing about us being kind of tough on superstars and all that stuff, mm-hmm. I think that's true to a degree. I don't think that guys like Harper, I don't think that's really what it's going to come down to ultimately. But I do think that, more so than even superstars, we are very skeptical of ownership groups and front offices, and we're always under this assumption that none of these guys care about winning. They only want to make money. And, I think has been true over times. Other times it hasn't. But I think Klentak and these guys have really painted themselves into a corner here. Mm-hmm. And to the point where if they don't get this guy, they're not going to survive it. And I think Boris knows that, and I think it's just kind of they hold all the cards right now.
They do, but all you have to, like, if you offer $350, how do they say no to that? They can't. There's no other team that's going to pay. So what's he going to do? He's going to just sit out?
Well, I think that ultimately the Phillies are probably going to get him. But I think that they're kind of playing a little bit of Russian roulette here by not offering $350 already.
Well, I've been saying that from the jump, that they've been playing a very dangerous game with this guy and this agent, because he's looking for a team to spite them, I think.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco is his favorite spot. That's what I think the client's favorite spot is. But Boris will look stupid if he signed into a smaller term contract if they're making this kind of a fuss.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just think that they really, they're talking about stupid money and all this, and I think that they already really should have gotten stupid, and
yeah.
It looks like they have. And
You said something that was very interesting before. I want to explore it with you. You said we care about the players that care about winning. Who did you have in mind?
We care about players that don't care about winning?
You said something about we differentiate between the player making the money and the player who cares about winning.
Well, I think like a guy like Cliff Lee, there was always this idea that he spurned the Yankees for us.
Right.
And he was pretty much...
So he cared about winning more than the money, even though he made it...
He didn't. He was a... three-run lead against the Cardinals, and everything's still cool.
All right. That's good. When it comes to baseball players, baseball players are so much different than other players. I'll try to get into that in a minute. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
General knowledge is the heart category, the heart quiz.
Oh, boy.
All right. What was the nickname of Richard the First?
The only one I know that would fit with that is the Lionhearted.
Lionheart is correct. This is a pretty easy category, the heart. It's because I have a lot of heart giving it to them. See, baseball players and this care about winning thing is like almost impossible to decipher. Because, like, how do you determine that a baseball player cares about winning? You can't. Baseball players don't have the teamwork gene. They just don't. They don't have the teamwork gene. There's no teamwork gene. There's a teamwork gene in every other sport except baseball. So how do you determine whether a guy cares about winning?
You know how Philadelphia decides.
How do they decide?
Utley cared about winning, but Rollinson and Howard didn't.
Okay, why did we say that?
They said that because allegedly Rollins never hustled once in his mm-hmm. career, and Ryan Howard didn't care about winning because he struck out sometimes. And if you strike out, that means you don't care about winning.
And we were wrong.
Of course we were wrong.
We were wrong when it came to that.
Of course we were wrong.
But Utley cared about winning, coincidentally, when he was hitting 325.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was caring about winning. As long as he was producing, we could easily say he cared about winning. If he was hitting 220, do you think we would care? That I mean, do you think we would not judge him harshly?
Utley, no, but yeah, anyone else.
If he hit 220, Chase Utley would not be a fan favorite.
Oh, you mean his whole career? Yeah, you're right. Well, I don't know. We like bad players, too, in this city.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Now, who do we like? Who's a mediocre player that we really
like? We loved Rashawn Holmes. We love TJ. We actively love TJ McConnell.
Not the whole fan base. The smart people knew the limitations of those players.
We loved Mickey Morandini.
He was judged like on a flat line. We didn't have any reaction to Mickey Morandini.
Is there Mickey? He loves to win.
No, we did.
Yes, I remember people telling me that.
No, sir.
Oh, he really wanted to win. He's a great guy.
No. Bobby and Mayfair, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bobby.
Hey, Mikey Mitch, how you doing?
What's up, Bobby? How you doing?
I'm sitting here pulling my hair out, listening to everybody talk about Bryce Harper.
Uh-huh.
And I deeply believe that if we don't get him, it's going to be another season of just like, oh, the Phillies are on, and kind of surfing the TV again.
Yeah. You know, they're going to be interesting. They're going to be in it for a while, but they don't have enough to get to the playoffs, I don't think.
We definitely need a good name. We definitely need an offensive player. That's what we need. You know, and in the money thing, you know, I'm probably a little younger than you, Mike, but the money thing, like, really kind of distracts me of watching pro sports anymore sometimes. You know, the money, everything's about the money.
I got to ask you, why? It is what it is. It's like, you know, like you're worried about something you can't stop. Like, why would you care about the money part of it?
Maybe because of what I do for a living, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. But, like, what we all do for a living, we know we're not going to make the $350 million, right? So, right. Like, why would it even be a concern? They were touched by God, and we weren't.
Yeah, well, I guess I was touched by God, what I do for a living.
Well, there you go. You do what you do, touched by God in a certain way. As far as making the money, some people got really fortunate.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care about the money ever, except it's passed down to the consumer. I care about that a little bit, but you don't. You still have a choice whether you want to go to the game or not.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I love watching the Phillies. I bleed green. I love my Eagles, mm-hmm. but I would love for us to, like, right now. I'm wearing a Roy Holiday T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing my Holiday T-shirt.
Well, there you
go. Really wish that we would get. Yeah. So you know.
So you want the guy. You know he's going to make a lot of money, though.
He would really do me good.
He's going to make a lot of money. Are you going to judge him harshly because he's making that money?
No, I'm not judging him.
You'll be judging him. He strikes out, you're going to judge him.
Well, like you said earlier, and I like what Tyrone said earlier, like, we gotta give him a nice deal and go in there aggressively. I heard what Tyrone was saying earlier. Go in there aggressively. If you want him, let's give him the money.
Well, I agree. You know? All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
I probably won't get it.
Well, it's fads of the 1970s. You might get it.
All right, go ahead.
All right. These are pets that don't do anything at all. It was a 70s fad. Pets that don't do anything at all.
Pets that don't do anything at all.
Yep.
Mm.
They just sit there on your bureau or wherever.
I don't know.
Oh, it's a pet rock. Pet rock. Remember when people were stupid enough to buy pet rocks?
They bought them?
Yes. They were sold as a pet.
It's big money.
Pet rocks. And you named your own pet rock.
But where did you buy them?
Anywhere.
The Woolworth?
Yeah.
Kmart. Why didn't you just go outside? Why didn't you go outside?
We'll go outside for what? Get a rock?
Yeah.
Not the same. These are processed pet rocks.
Oh.
They came advertised as pet rocks.
Wow.
It's true.
70s was wild.
That had to be the stupidest fad ever.
That
it caught on. Pet rock.
That's the fallout of the 60s.
Nah, every generation has a dumb fad, though, Natalie. You're not above it.
Is there anything dumber than a pet rock?
No.
Yeah. What do you say? You're as dumb as a rock. If you have a pet rock, you're dumber than a rock.
There was things in the 90s where, like, you poured it in water but it wasn't really a pet.
Oh, the grow a pet?
Yeah, it was dumb too. It was just
but
as
at
dumb.
at least it expanded. Grow it wasn't just a rock.
That. What was that?
You put this little gooey thing in a cup of water,
uh-huh.
and then it expanded overnight, and then you had a new friend.
Right. And then you say that, though, Natalie, oh, why don't you just go outside? You know, people bought Easy Bake Ovens for generations when you could have just went up to a light bulb and done the exact same thing. People bought it anyway.
Plus, you'd be judged if you went on the cheap and went outside and got a rock and washed it off and said that was your pet rock.
What was the difference?
That's a Fugazi rock.
What was the difference, though?
The difference is it wasn't processed to be a pet rock. These were people that were actually making pet rocks.
Did it say pet rock on it?
Yes. It was advertised as pet rock.
Did you have one?
No. Did I have one?
What would you have named it?
I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever had.
Sea monkey.
I had a pet marijuana plant on my windowsill. That's what I had to say. That's my pet.
Named Bob.
I'm trying to grow a bud. Could never get it. 610-632-0975. Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philly, covering the Phillies. He'll give us his insight on the Bryce Harper drama. That's after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Missanelli Show. One topic we're talking about on the snowy day in the Delaware Valley. Bryce Harper. Is he going to take some money from the Phillies and be a Philly? Or is this whole thing a ruse and we've been duped for the whole offseason and he's going to sign somebody like the San Francisco Giants or go back to the Washington Nationals? To shed some light on it, but whatever light can be shed, we got a man that covers baseball for NBC Sports Philly, Corey Seidman. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Corey, what's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Please tell me what's going on.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are relieved that one half of this conversation is over with Machado now finding a team. But obviously there's even more pressure now on the Phillies than there was 2 days ago. And I'm just, man, the reaction in this city is going to be insane if the Phillies miss out on Bryce Harper. Not just, you know, that day when it comes down, but anytime Harper does anything well over the next decade, it's just going to be reminders of, you know, how upset everybody is. But I was kind of surprised that the Padres ponied up the way they did, and I think that more than a few teams were caught semi-off guard to see that the Padres offered that $300 million. And, you know, I think that is a major reason why the Phillies didn't end up matching it. They probably didn't think they were going to have to hit a number that high and didn't feel quite comfortable with it.
Well, now they do, and now they have to exceed it. Or do they? Where do they stand right now in this whole thing?
So Scott Boras is going to obviously try to get Bryce Harper more than $300 million. He's going to try to get him more than $325 million so that he can say it's the highest priced player in Major League history. The question is, are there enough teams in the bidding for the Phillies to feel the need to exceed $300 million? Scott Boras isn't going to want to take that L. You know, the fact that Machado got $300 million, if Harper's number starts with a 2, a lot of people are going to interpret it as if, you know, Dan Lozano won and Scott Boras lost, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I would see Boras shifting things if those $300 million offers don't materialize is I think that he would go for a shorter term. I don't mean like 3 years, but I mean something like 7 years, but with an annual average value that's higher. Perhaps, you know, something like the Phillies might have been willing to offer Machado, which, you know, I get the sense was in a 7 or 8 year range and $250 to $280 million, something like that, that, you know, is $35 billion or so per year, but doesn't reach that astronomical figure. You know, but it's going to take a ton of money. It's obviously going to take 300 plus. Harper is the better player. I think that the perception around the league is that Harper is the better player, and thus, you know, he's going to, in a fair world, he would make more.
All right, but are the Phillies thinking that they didn't want to go to 10 years and that's been the holdup? And so, like, what you just said is more likely to happen?
With Machado, yeah, that was the interpretation, is that they weren't willing to go to 10 years. And so a lot of people are going to ask, well, what's the difference between 8250 and 10300? Well, the difference is that $50 million is being paid to the players age 35 and age 36 seasons, when you pretty much can be assured they're not going to be worth that money. When you sign a player to any deal this long, you're pretty much knowing, okay, if it's 10 years, maybe 6 or 7 of those years are really, really superstar years, and the rest of the contract is going to be, the cost of doing business. But it seems like the Phillies are willing to go a little higher for Harper. And, you know, I also wonder if the context of the previous moves the Phillies have made this offseason kind of altered their preference slightly. The fact that they added, you know, the three best players they added were right-handed batters, Realmuto, Segura, McCutcheon. And if you look at it just from a roster context standpoint, Bryce Harper fits better with this team because of the left-handed power. And the fact that this team really needs the offensive centerpiece more than they need the well-rounded star that, you know, I regard Machado as. I wonder how much that played a role in it as well.
All right. Tell me what role this plays into it. Because we've heard this, and we had Jason Stark on yesterday, and he kind of suggested the same thing. That Harper is just not that affectionate about Philadelphia in general, playing here.
Yeah, there's certainly been more that has been said by Harper and his wife about, you know, their affinity for the Bay Area than there has been for Philadelphia. But, you know, I just think at the end of the day, he's going to take the best offer. Like, unless he just really, really doesn't want to be here and he wants to return to the Nationals, and he's willing to accept less money to do that. But I don't see that happening. I think he's going to go with the best combination of money, a chance to win, and comfort. You know, the one thing that I think has been underrated during this entire process has been that Bryce Harper, for the last, 6 years of his career, has been a fierce competitor against the Phillies. He's used to coming in here as a visiting player and being booed and all of those things. And it's like, whether he feels completely loyal to the Nationals at this point or not, there's that latent loyalty that's built up over years and years. And, you know, I wonder if this guy ever really even envisioned that he could one day be playing for the Phillies. So that could play a role as well. But for the people who are saying that he's not keen on Philadelphia, I wouldn't take the fact that he's unsigned as any evidence of that, because, you know, obviously he's not signed by any team, so it doesn't mean that he's not interested in playing in any city. I think it's just one of those kind of thought processes that comes up because this free agent period has taken so long.
All right, here's the upshot of this whole thing. Boris would probably be out of his mind to take less than 10 years. That Machado got 10 years, because that puts his client going for another free agent contract at age 33, and his value will be diminished by then. So he's going to take 10 years. So I'll ask you this. If the Phillies tomorrow or today go, all right, you got your 10 at 350, does that get it done?
Yeah, I think that would get it done. I think if the Phillies offered 10-350 tomorrow, it would get done. Based on what Matt Klentak, what he said to reporters yesterday in Clearwater, there were two ways I took that. One, that the Phillies aren't going to bid against themselves. Obviously, they're not going to go to 10-350 just to get something done. They're still going to be, you know, pragmatic about it. The other thing was, that was definitely Klentak talking to Boris through the media. You know, that was Klentak showing Scott Boris, I'm not going to be altered by how crazy this fan base is and how much they want Bryce Harper. I'm still going to go about this the way any GM would. So I think 10-350 would get it done. I won't be surprised if those end up being the terms. You know, it's just a matter of, is there going to be another team that puts pressure on the Phillies to actually hit that mark? Is there going to be an 11th hour mystery team? The crazy thing about this offseason is nobody predicted the Padres would end up with Manny Machado. There wasn't a single person, a baseball writer, anybody who predicted at the beginning of the offseason he could end up there. And it was yet another cautionary tale that the connections you see made in public aren't always the most meaningful.
There are two fears I have. One is the San Francisco fear, because I know he would like playing there. The other is the Nationals sneaking in here. If the Nationals now have been revived by this and they go, okay, we're going to pay you 10 to 325, does he take that deal? Which is why I'm saying the Phillies have to go to 350 tomorrow.
Yes, I think that if there are two offers on the table for Harper, at 10-325 from the Nationals or 10-350 from the Phillies, I think he would take that Nationals offer. You know, the other thing to keep in mind, though, with the Nationals, all of their highest-priced players, they have deferrals, a lot of deferred money in their contracts. Scherzer, Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, even some of their lower-priced guys like Brian Dozier has deferred money. So if you're a player, you know, you would obviously prefer to not have to defer any of that money and not have to wait beyond those 10 years for it. So that's a way that the Phillies could exceed the Nationals offer. But I just think that that comfort factor, that's a real, you know, that's a real consideration here. And that's why if the two offers are similar enough, I still think Harper would lean toward going back to Washington. That being said, I don't know that the Nationals can really even do that, 10 for 325 at this point. They've spent $180 million already in free agency. They have other guys they have to worry about in the future. Anthony Rendon is going to command a nine-figure salary himself after this year. And, you know, they're just the Washington outfield is well set up even without Harper right now. I wrote at the end of January that I did at that point think Harper was going back to Washington based on how the market was playing out, but that was under the assumption the Phillies were going to end up with Machado. At this point, I don't think the Phillies are going to I just don't think they're going to put themselves in a position where they're going to lose out to the Nationals of all teams for Harper, because that would just completely negate all the money that the Phillies have spent over the last two off-seasons. The only team that spent more money than the Phillies the last two off-seasons is the Padres because of what they did yesterday.
I got it, but Corey, are they playing a dangerous game to the point where they can lose them?
Yeah, it's definitely a dangerous game, and I think that's what's frustrating a lot of fans is that when you hear stupid money at the beginning of the offseason, the thought process of a fan is, okay, they're going to do whatever it takes. Whatever needs to get this deal done, they're going to do, but now you kind of see the way it's actually playing out when it's the GM negotiating the contract, and yeah, I'm sure John Middleton is going to be more vocal than ever before. Now that this thing is kind of nearing the end, and I'm sure that he's pretty antsy himself. But yes, it's a dangerous game, and if the Phillies don't end up with one of these guys, they can't just say, oh, well, you know, there's good free agents down the line. There might be Mookie Betts, there might be Anthony Rendon, et cetera, because those guys might never reach free agency.
What's your instinct tell you?
I do think they're going to end up with Harper, just because of how negative the optics would be, and just the fact that, like I said, they spent $249 million the last two off seasons. You don't spend all that money to put together an 85-win team. You do that so that when you're in place to add this one final piece like they can right now, that you add it. And the fact that Harper fits in so well to their timeline, 26 years old to a core that's mostly 27, 28, it's just everything about it fits so well.
All right. Corey, great information. Thanks, bud. We'll talk
to you. Thanks, Mike.
There he is, Corey Seidman at NBC Sports Philadelphia. He thinks they're going to get him. I think they're playing a dangerous game. He said the Nationals come in at less than the Phillies, he would sign with the Nationals. If you're the Nationals, why wouldn't you come in?
Because you can't afford it.
You can always afford it.
Can't afford it. I don't think they can afford it.
Well, maybe the Phillies are playing, well, they can't afford it, so we'll just sit here. You can snooze, you lose, my friend.
The team I'm afraid of now is the Padres.
You think the Padres will get them too?
Right this minute, their payroll's $10 million less than the Phillies, and they have a better farm system, and they drafted way better than the Phillies further down. They could win.
Now we're keeping on the West Coast.
It's not crazy for them to, like people keep saying, oh, the Padres can't win. I don't agree with that. I actually think the Padres can, maybe not this year, but if the Phillies don't get Harper, the Phillies can't win.
Poor Nick Williams. There's Nick Williams in a position where they get Harper, he's traded. If they don't get Harper, he gets booed when he flies out. He can't win. Nick Williams can't win. He's got a target on his back
I will never boo Nick Williams.
Nick Williams is going to get booed.
I will never.
He comes up with two men on base in a key spot, pops up. Because he's not Harper. Not because he's Nick Williams. Because he's not Harper.
I will never boo him.
610-622-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.347 Mike Missanelli Show. One open line, 610-622-0975. So I did some research on Pet Rocks, Natalie.
Oh, yeah?
Pet Rocks. They're a collectible designed by advertising executive Gary Dahl, D-A-H-L.
I Googled it. It came in a kit.
It came in a little box with holes so the rock could breathe. The stones came from Mexico's Rosarito Beach. They came in a straw and with breathing holes. Now, how stupid are we as a public? to fall for the Pat Rock.
How was it proven that they were from Rosarito Beach?
I don't know.
Well, not this dude's backyard.
You have a really good question there. But the smooth stone is such that the Rosarito Beach contained these smooth stones. It was smoother than your average stone.
I think this was the fallout of the 60s and all the partying that went on, so I've heard back then.
You can get it on eBay for $9.95.
The parents who were teenagers in the 60s were parents in the 70s, and they were like, we're going to get our kids Pat Rocks, and they're going to love it.
How ridiculous are we as a public that we would actually buy this thing?
I think it's the packaging. It came with
holes, like the rock had to breathe. Really? Are we idiots? Oh, my God. T-Love in Collingdale. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. T-Love.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, T?
Oh, well, look. First of all, I want to comment about something that I really don't care too much about. But ask Natalie what's the odds that the Kardashian is going to get another NBA player. You know,
well, they like NBA players, the Kardashians.
They work in the league, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they do.
So, I don't know. You get what you ask for, you know what I mean?
I hear you, T.
Yeah, but anyway. Hey, man, $300 million, you got to be the next Willie Mays. Now, is this guy that guy?
No, you don't. See, in this day and age, you don't have to be Willie Mays to make $300 million. That's the beauty of it.
Wow.
It's the going rate. T-Love, like, I hear what you're saying. You're talking sense, right? He's not as great as Willie Mays, therefore he shouldn't command the most money in the league. But, you know, it's a market that necessitates you pay X for X. It just works out that way. It's like collecting baseball cards. Why is Johannes Wagner worth $20,000? Because there's somebody out there that'll pay it.
And that's us. And then now we're going to get 45 home runs. And what, 120 RBIs,
yep,
a year, and that's where he's coming, and we're going to get that for the next at least 7 years.
Well, I don't know what you're going to get, but what I'm saying is you have to pay the player if you want that, the hope of that, you have to pay, because you're not better off without it, are you? Now, he might not match what I just said, 45-120 every year. But are you not better off with him than without him?
Well, if he lives up to those stats, of course.
Well, even if he doesn't live up to the stats, if you add him to your team, are you a better team?
Well, look, I mean, if he's going to bring stats like that, then of course. But my problem is we got a second-year manager who we are not enthralled with. I mean,
who cares about the manager? If you put a lineup up there that bashes, who cares what the manager? Manager can't mess that up. Can't
you? Don't
a manager if has to manage? That's not the way he messes up with lesser talent. That's how managers mess up. Manager doesn't mess up with a good team.
Well, we lost the World Series because Dallas Green left a knucklehead pitcher in too long.
Who are you talking about? Fregosi, not Dallas Green. You talking about Mitch Williams?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was Fregosi, man. Come on.
Now he did mess that up. Wild things shouldn't have been in that game. Fregosi messed that up. That's on Fregosi.
Yeah, he did. They were in the World Series. It's like, come on. Well, it's like they didn't achieve that year.
That's true. They overachieved.
Okay.
But that was on Fregosi. And instead,
well, one game was.
Mitch Williams got the death threats. That was wrong.
I'm saying. Like, managers have managed bad teams and good teams, right? We determine who a good manager is by what? If the team wins.
Yeah.
Like Joe Torre, he's the greatest manager ever. But he had stints where he wasn't a good manager because he didn't have a good team.
It wasn't he with the Mets and he wasn't good?
Right. You make up a lineup card. If eight guys hit and one in the ninth pitches, you win. Baseball is simple. People complicate it. Oh, the manager's going to mess it up. You can't mess up a good team.
But wait a minute. Do we complicate it as he?
Well, he complicated it last year because he didn't have the team. They got a better team this year.
You don't think he's going to do that
stuff? How can he complicate stuff with a good team? All you got to do is put guys in a lineup.
All right.
You can't complicate anything, except when he overshifts or does stuff like that. The analytics say you should. I don't, you know, whatever he's doing, but that's not going to mess up a good team from winning.
All right.
When you hit and pitch, you win. Or if you hit and your relief pitching saves you, you win. That's how it works these days. Nick in Briarcliff. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Nick?
Nothing much. I was giving you guys a call because I love the guys who call in and say anyone who doesn't want Bryce Harper has to be an idiot. And I think the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Sure, you know, he's going to help the lineup. It's great to watch him in the Home Run Derby. It's actually awesome. You know, it's one of the highlights of it all. But he's just not a winner. And unlike the Millennium Long Ball fools out there, there's many pieces needed to win in October. Like, we still need a left-handed pitcher.
Explain this he's not a winner comment to me. Explain it. I don't get it. How's one guy on a roster 25 determine whether a team wins?
Okay, well, I never heard him say in the offseason he wanted to go to a place, to a team, where he feel he had the best opportunity to win a championship. But I did hear him say that he did not want to go to a city that's going to hold him accountable. So right there.
He never said that. That's just speculation that he doesn't want to play in Philadelphia. That's just purely speculation.
Because we're a tough city.
He hasn't said that at all. We're just speculating that.
Okay, it just seems like he's more concerned about the money, just like the top dollar free agents all on the pay.
He's a baseball player. Baseball players don't think in terms of team. They shouldn't. They're not team. They're individuals that you put together. They're not a team.
But if you were a baseball player of his talent, wouldn't you want to go to the best possible place where you could win? And I'm not even saying that's Philadelphia. I'm just saying, wouldn't you want to go
I would go to the place that pays me the most money, and hopefully it's a team that could win. Now, the teams that are in are the teams that are going to win.
So, like, Albert Pujols and Barry Bonds and Josh Hamilton, Robinson Cano, all those guys, top dollars, superstar free agents, won no World Series. A-Rod is actually the only one, and I can remember, who did it. And he did it on the second try.
Mm-hmm. The name of the game is to get the most money you can.
Okay.
If you win, you know, God bless you. You're a baseball player. It's not team. You're an individual. You're an independent contractor when you're a baseball player. You're one of eight guys in a lineup that swings a bat.
Okay, now do you know what the win differential is if they get Harper? The Phillies win differential.
They'll win four more games with Harper.
Two, it says. Two is the projected win differential.
Well, two can make a difference.
Two can make it, and I would never throw that out the window.
Yeah.
But I need to
ask you the crux question here, all right? Would you rather have a lineup with Bryce Harper in it or not? Because that's really the only thing you should care about. You shouldn't care about the money part of it at all. As a fan,
I don't care about the money.
All right, as a fan, are you more comfortable with Bryce Harper in your lineup or not?
As a fan, I would, especially in our ballpark and what he could do here, I definitely would.
Well, then what are we talking about? What's the conversation? Like, I don't get. You talked to me for 2 minutes, but in the end, you're better off with Harper. So what's the consternation? Oh, what a guy is a team guy. He's not a winner. No baseball player is a winner. The team wins collectively when everybody's individual stats line up enough to make the team win at the end of 9 innings. They're not going back door and receiving an alley-oop pass. That's teamwork. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.